Thank you, Jesus. And Father, now I ask, over these next few moments of time as we've come together to study your word this morning, Father, that you would anoint me, Father, with an anointing from on high, that you would give me the words to say today that you would have for this people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a slogan that I've heard, and I'm sure probably all of you have heard, and I tried to track it down the other day, and I still couldn't find where I heard it originally. And, you know, sometimes even if you're looking on the internet, what you find is not what you're looking for, you know. And I couldn't find it, but the slogan was, "The gift that keeps on giving." And, of course, I did find out that a lot of people for various things have appropriated that saying. Because there are a lot of gifts that you can do that keep on giving. You know, you can do certain things and it begins to bless other people and it just continues to multiply, you know. And I know they talk about sometimes about blood donors. You know, that's a gift that keeps on giving, because when you donate blood, your body replenishes that blood in your body, and that gift then goes on to help somebody else who may live because of that gift that you gave. So I was thinking about the gift that keeps on giving. The other day, in fact, it's been this past week, I saw a story on one of the news programs, and I had actually seen this story several years earlier on a different station. So it was the second time I had seen this, but it's talking about this man in San Diego, California. And I can't remember, it seems to me like he has on the side of his car the Road Ranger or something like that. And he's got an older Ford station wagon that he has kind of fixed up, a little strange looking. But he patrols the freeways down there, finding stranded motorists who are in need. And whether it's a flat tire, or they need a little work on their car because he's a mechanic by trade, or they need gasoline or whatever, he stops and helps them and gets them back on the road. And so they've done a story on him a couple of times. And so they went out for a ride with him. And as they were driving down in one case, somebody else had beat him to it. You know, and he said then he'd stopped at one where somebody else was already stopped helping the person. So he went up to the man after the man had finished helping him. And he said, "Why did you do this?" And the man said, "Well, you know what? My wife broke down out here on the freeway a few weeks ago, and somebody stopped and helped her. So I decided to repay the favor by stopping and helping somebody else." And then he turned to this gentleman they were doing the story about and said, "By the way, thank you." Because it was him that had stopped and helped this man's wife. And I thought, that's kind of a gift that keeps on giving. Because you see, when this man stops and helps someone on the freeway, he doesn't ask for money. He doesn't accept money. But he gives them a card. It says, "Repay this by helping someone else. Repay this by helping someone else." And you know what? If we stop to take that attitude, the world would be a whole lot better place if everybody had that attitude, repaying kindness with kindness. Stopping and help somebody. I know my daughter has gotten on to me a couple of times, Mary and I, because we have stopped and helped somebody at night. Several years ago, and some of you know this story, but we stopped right here at the mall here in Columbia. We were exiting the mall, actually, and we find this man wandering around. And if I recall correctly, I believe he could hardly walk. And Mary said, "He's going to get run over." So we stopped, and we rolled down the window. "Is there anything we can do to help you?" Well, he just opened the back door and got right in the car. He says, "I got to go to an ATM machine." I said, "Well, there's one right over there." He says, "No, not that one." So we took him, and we drove around Columbia. I think we went to every ATM machine in Columbia, and him saying, "No, that's not the right one." We soon discovered, after we drove him out Highway 50, then trying to find where his daughter lived, all the way out to the 65, and realized that he didn't know where he lived. He didn't know where he was going. And at that point, he'd given us some descriptions. We knew it was a trailer park. he'd given us some description. At that point, I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to head back toward Columbia. And if we can't find it on the way back, I'm going to the police department at this point. I don't know what to do with this man. Before we got back, we knew his ATM PIN number and everything else, you know, because he was just blabbing. And I thought, man, it's a good thing, you know, somebody else could have picked him up. They could have knocked him in the head, took his card, and went to any ATM and used that number and got his money. So finally we stopped and we found this one trailer park. And I'm headed down. And, no, this is not the right place. This is not the right place. But I turned and went on in anyway because I thought this has to be the place. As we're driving down this dark road in this trailer park, oh, that's my daughter's trailer. Well, I'd turn around and go back, and I almost had to chase the man to make sure he didn't fall getting up to the trailer then. You know, and some people say, well, why did you do that? You know what? Because the man needed help. I think it was earlier this year, might have been sometime last year, we were driving down another dark road here in Columbia. We were actually looking for a piece of property. Guy's truck stopped in the middle of the road. There's a couple of guys out there. They've run out of gas. There's no gas station for miles. So we stopped. Can we help? I didn't have any gas in the car other than what was in the tank. He said, well, if you could just take us back up the road a little ways to my mother's house, we can get her to take us to go get some gas. Pile in the car. We took them up there. We couldn't even turn down the driveway because the conditions that were there, but they just let us out here. And I know some people, you could have got knocked in the head. And I don't recommend everybody stop and pick up everybody that's alongside the road because sometimes that's not wise. But you know what? We tried to have and show acts of kindness. God blessed us. And God has blessed us. You say, well, what blessing did you get particularly? I don't know. I can't point back to any blessing that God has given me that relates back to either one of those two incidences, but God blessed me. And I'm sure that those people will go on remembering that somebody stopped and helped them when they were in need. You see, because I remember the time, and I've told you about this, and I mentioned it in my message several months ago about angels, where we were stranded alongside Interstate 40, just outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Midnight, pouring rain, car overheated. Nobody on the interstate was stopping. But here comes a man, and I still believe that man was an angel. He was our angel anyway, irregardless. Coming down the road in a pickup truck on a little side road that couldn't even see in the dark being over there. And that 5-gallon red jerry can, which is meant to carry gasoline, and he had 5 gallons of water. Cooled our engine down and said, up at the top of the hill, about 5 miles up the hill, there's a garage. There's a mechanic in there, and he can fix your car. Got back in his truck and went on his way. I remember that. I'll always remember that because somebody stopped and helped in my time of need. A gift that kept on giving, you know. Because I think about that when I stop to help people because somebody stopped and helped me once. We need to think about helping others, and especially as we approach this Christmas season. You know what? We think of Christmas as, and we talked about this, several of us have talked about this recently, that Christmas is a time when we get wrapped up in too much of the commercialism of it, I think. Too much of them. What have I got to give somebody as a gift? And we forget all about the fact that this is the season that we have chosen to celebrate Christ's birth. We kind of put that on the backs. Oh, yeah, December 25th, that's when we celebrate Jesus' birthday. But we forget about it, really. And it's kind of an afterthought. But yet, the month of December is one of the most strenuous months on people. There are a lot of people who just give up and die during the month of December. You say, give up and die? Can people do that? Yes, they can. It's an interesting thing about dying. Sometimes you can prolong your death and keep from dying for several days. And other times, you can just will yourself to die. My grandmother, who died at the age of, I think, about 96, but 18 years ago, I guess it was, the day that Reese and Katrina were getting married, my sister was back in Arkansas taking care of her. My grandmother was dying. She walked into the room and said, "You can't die today. Katrina's getting married. You cannot die on her wedding day." And she said, you could just see like determination set in. And she lasted over 24 hours because she refused to die on Katrina's wedding day. I don't know, these things seem to happen involving Katrina, but then when Sammy was born, as Sammy is, we're waiting his delivery there. I mean, she's in the delivery room. My sister calls, "Mom is dying." I said, "Well, Katrina's at the hospital right now and she's about to give birth." She went back to my mom and said, "You can't die today." 24 hours later, actually 48 hours later, she hung on. Wanted to hear that word. I said, "Go tell her." In fact, I told her myself over the phone, even though she couldn't respond back, "You've got a new grandson." And told her his name and everything. But this is a season that affects people. There are a lot of hurting people out there. And I know some of us, you know, we have pain in our physical body too because of things that are going on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about emotional hurting. There are people who are out there that they are emotionally devastated. And as they see so many people who are celebrating and all, and for whatever reason, if this emotional devastation has come upon them, they're hurting. And some of them just don't want to live anymore. They're ready to say, "I'm ready to get out of here." And some of them will end up taking their own lives because of that. And yet, we as Christians, we have the message that the world needs to hear. And I know that right now it seems like the world really doesn't want to hear this message. Because everywhere you turn around, it seems like more and more people say, "No, we don't want to hear about Christ. We don't want to hear about Jesus. Oh, we want to have Christmas celebrations, but we want to call it the holiday season, or we want to call it this, that, or the other, and we want to go on, and we want to sell merchandise, and we want to party, and we want to do all of this. Let's forget this Christ child thing. Let's just party. Let's have a good time." And there's nothing wrong with having a good time as we gathered and had our little church Christmas party yesterday. We had a good time. But there are people that are hurting. The world has a message that we can share with them if they will listen to us. That Christ died for their sins. That He wants to meet the needs that are in their life. People have asked me on occasion, "What's the missions?" I like these things, you know, these political things that you come up with, the politically correct things to say, the buzzwords, all of that stuff. And a few years ago, it got to where everybody had to have a mission statement. Somebody asked me several years ago, "Well, what's the mission statement of your church?" I thought, well, we don't really have something we call a mission statement. So I told him, I said, "Really, if you want to say we got a mission statement, it's this. It's sharing the good news, the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need that's in your life." And you know, for almost 20 years, we opened a broadcast every week with that statement. And millions of people around the world have heard that statement issued to them, that Jesus Christ loves you. He wants to meet the need that's in your life. And when we're going through a time when we're hurting in our life, Jesus is the answer. He's the one that can ease that hurt that's in our life. We've talked about it, and I've mentioned people who have lost loved ones, and I was thinking today there have been three people that I know that have gone on in the last couple of weeks. Some I'm not sure if they went to be with the Lord. Some I'm sure of. But I'm thinking about them. We lose loved ones. We have times that come into our life that hurts. But Jesus is the answer. People have health problems. They have economic problems. And we're going through a situation in our economy today where everybody has economic problems. I don't care who you are. There are a lot of wealthy people out there who their wealth was on paper. And it's disappeared. I don't have a lot of wealth on paper. In fact, I don't have any wealth on paper. You know, not more than a couple of dollars anyway. But you know what? My wealth is in the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells me it's not going to be destroyed. It's not going to be taken away. It's not going to be lost. It's not going to depend upon the stock market. Because my wealth is being stored up in the kingdom of God. So I may not be wealthy here on planet Earth, because my wealth is being built in the kingdom of God. And that's where we need to be building our wealth. But people are hurting because of these situations, family situations. A lot of people are grieving because of problems that are in their families. They're hurting because of things that has happened in the family. All of these things that are going on. And this particular time of the year, when it should be a joyous time, is a time of pain emotionally to them because of this. Bill Gaither wrote a song several years ago. In fact, I believe it was 1971. And we tend to sing this song more around Easter time and think about it then. But it was a song entitled, Because He Lives. The first verse goes, God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And life is worth the living because He lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everybody gets stressed out once in a while. I don't care who you are, you get stressed out once in a while. I get stressed out once in a while. I have to admit, I got stressed out a few times this week. You know, things don't always go the way that we hope they go, and we get stressed out. But you know what? Jesus came to take care of that for me. Because He lived, He gave me a gift that keeps on giving. You talk about a gift that keeps on giving. What Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary continues to give down the ages throughout all of this age and even into eternity. Because we'll spend eternity with Him because of the gift He gave. God sent His Son. Why? Why would God send His Son? After all, we turned out to be a bunch of pretty rotten people sometimes. After all, God created us. Our ancestors, Adam and Eve. You know, kind of interject a little thing here. I just thought of this kind of funny because some people, you know, well, are you related to anybody important? Did your grandma, grandpa come over on the, or great-grandma, great-grandma, whatever, come over on the Mayflower? Now, there are some people who are, they're really stuck on that, man. My ancestors came over on the Mayflower, and you better not forget it. I'm important. You know, well, so what? I don't know how my ancestors got here. By ship, I know that, but that's all I know. And some of my ancestors were already here. To start with. So. But our ancestors, Adam and Eve, you want to talk about people, you got important names. Hey, my ancestors are mentioned in the Bible. Guy by the name of Adam, lady by the name of Eve. God set them up in the perfect place. I mean, everything was taken care of. They didn't have to work. It was just provided for them. And yet because they sinned against God, they lost it all. God could have shaken his head and said, I'm through with those kind of people. And this world would have already destroyed itself by now. But God said, I love those people. I created them. When you have a family and you have kids, you love that kid. No matter how rotten they get sometimes, you still love that kid, you know. Now, I'll have to say, my girls were good girls. You know, they didn't get into too much too bad that I know about anyway. They may have hid something from me that I don't know about, but they didn't get into any real problems. Never got arrested or anything like that, but never got thrown out of school. I admit I had to go to school a couple of times, but, they never got into really serious problems. And I'm thankful for that. But you know what? When you have a child, you love that child. It's just nature. You love that child. And when that child has children, you love that child too, because that's part of you. And God said, back in the book of Genesis, let us make man in our image. We're part of God. He looked at us and said, I still love those rotten people. You know, they may have done some terrible things. They may have went out and done the one thing that I told them not to do. But I still love them. I still care about them. So God loved us. Why? Galatians 4:5 says, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Why did he send his son? To redeem us. Because under the law, we were lost. Under the law, we were lost. We had one destination that we were headed for. And it would have seemed like that our fate was sealed. But God says, no, I love them. I love them. I want to redeem them. I want to pay the price. I want to pay their penalty for the sin that they've committed. That's why God sent his son. That same chapter, Galatians chapter 4, then verse 6, goes on to read. And it says then, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, what is Abba, Father? That means, dear Father. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to redeem us from the penalty of sin, that we would be adopted back into His family, and we can cry out, dear Father. I listen to people pray sometimes, and some people get real flowery King James type prayers, you know. And when I say that, you know, they use English language that hasn't been used for 400 years with all of these and thous and ye's and whatever. But you know what? Best way to pray is simply like you're having a conversation with Father. Because that's who we're talking to. We're talking to Father. And we're going through our elder brother, Jesus. When Jesus said, the disciples asked, how do we pray? He said, our Father. Our Father. We are praying to our Father. Why? Because He loved us. Galatians 4:7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He not only loved us so much that he sent his son to pay the penalty for sin and adopted us back into the family, but now we are an heir of what God has. My inheritance here was not much. My folks provided for me. They provided a nice home. They provided a nice place to live. They helped me with my college education when I first started college. My mother babysat to actually help pay my college tuition when I first started to college and things like that. And they made sure that I had clothes to wear and food on the table and things like that. When they went on to be with the Lord, they didn't leave me a lot of money. They didn't leave me any bills either. But you know what? They left me still a rich heritage. And that's what I was heir to, a heritage of loving God. Being raised in God's house. But some people, you know, when their parents or loved one passes on, they're left an estate and they're an heir to something. And sometimes they become an heir to money or whatever, or land or whatever. But we who are born-again Christians, who are adopted into the family of God, we are an heir to whatever God has. That's what he says. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yahweh God gave the gift that keeps on giving. And we, in turn, we need to give. And I know that we can't necessarily rush out and dump buckets full of money in people's laps and things like that. But you know what? We can give of what we have. What did the disciples say? And Peter and John went to the temple after the day of Pentecost. They'd just come out the very first church service. They'd been to synagogue service, but they came out of the very first church service. Out of that upper room. When the Holy Spirit had descended. Next day, going to the temple. They're going to go and praise God at the temple. The blind man, or the lame man rather, who was there, that they undoubtedly had passed by many times. He's got his little cup out. Alms for the poor. Can you give me any money? Just a few shekels. Anything will help. And they looked. Said, "Sir, we don't have any money. Our pockets are empty. Oh, but what we do have, we're willing to share with you. Such as I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And it says they grabbed him by the hand and he leaped to his feet. And he began to dance about and walk and run and shout, praising God. Why? Because they got a gift the day before. And they kept on giving that gift. What I have in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. That's what we need to be sharing with the world. Is what we have in Jesus. Oh, it doesn't hurt to give gifts to the Red Cross or the Salvation Army or other worthwhile charities. But we need to be giving the gift of Jesus Christ to the world. Sharing with them. John 3:16, best known scripture in the world. Probably even atheists can quote this one. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." A Jewish Bible says God gave his unique Son. There is no other son like Jesus Christ. He gave him, offered him as the sacrifice, the atonement for our sin. Verse 17, which most people don't quote, a lot of people don't know by memory. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Ah, but that the world through him might be saved. We can have salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, We were hopelessly lost. Without him, there was no hope. Oh, we could try to keep the law. And God honored those who fulfilled the law of Moses and offered the sacrifices and so on. Looking forward to that day that Jesus Christ was going to give his life on the cross of Calvary, God honored what was done back then. But now he's given Jesus Christ. And now we have hope. We have hope. Because I'll guarantee you, out of this group that's here today, and if we had to live under the law as they did then, most of us would probably be lost. Think about it. We would not have any hope. We would not have it. And as Gentiles, we would have for sure been lost, because we didn't have any hope at all, not even through the law. But God loved us. Luke 19:10 says, it's chapter 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He came to find you and to save you because you were lost. And you say, well, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago approximately, and he died on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. And how could he be seeking me? Because he didn't stay in the grave, number one. And he's still seeking today. Whoever's lost, he's seeking to save that person. He's knocking at your heart's door and say, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Won't you come on in? Won't you let me into your heart?" Amen. Why? Because he came to save you. He didn't come to give his life for just a select few. It said, "Whosoever will." Whosoever. That includes everybody. He didn't say, "I'm only selecting a certain group of people," or "I'm only selecting a group of people by their income or by their education," or any of these other things. Just whosoever will. If they'll come to me when I knock at their heart's door, if they'll let me in, I'll come in and they'll be saved. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned." You see, there are some people out there that don't want to admit that they were lost. The first step is you've got to admit that you were lost. You know, they talk about men and directions. That men don't like to ask directions. I don't know why that's ingrained into us. But it just seems to be that way. I have to admit I've gotten better about it. But we don't like to ask directions. And I remember a couple of times I've headed down the wrong way down a road that was leading to a dead end because I wouldn't ask directions. And Mary telling me all the way back, "I told you so." All those people sitting out on their front porch watching you going down that way, they're watching you come back now, and they're laughing. And they probably were. You know, we don't want to admit we're lost. Women seemingly admit they're lost a lot easier than men do. And I don't know, maybe that's one of the reasons why there are more women in church than there are men. I don't know. Because typically, and I think this congregation is unusual because we've got more men than we do women in this congregation. That's very unusual. But maybe it's because women are more readily to admit that they're lost and that they need a Savior. I don't know. But the Bible tells us we were lost. But Jesus came to seek and to save us. All we've got to do is let him in. And he gives us then the gift, that keeps on giving. Because when he comes into our heart, it changes our life. And I don't care how rotten, stinking, immoral person you were, when he came into your heart, he changes your life. And some may have never done a really bad thing in their life, and they were being as moral and as good as they could be, and he comes into your heart and he still changes your life too. Because it makes a difference when he comes in. You feel that change when he comes into your heart. You know, I grew up in church. And I got saved when I was about, I think it was just before I turned 14. But I'd grown up in church. It was hard for me to realize that I was lost because, hey, I went to church all my life. And back in the days when it's kind of safer to do door-to-door stuff, they'd send some of us young people out doing door-to-door and they'd put me in charge. Because I knew more about it. But I had never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Until finally one day said, have you really accepted Jesus Christ? Are you saved? And I had to say, no, I'm not. I had to admit it. I hadn't done a lot of bad things. But you know what? When Jesus came into my heart, I felt the change. I knew the difference when he was dwelling in my heart. It wasn't just words anymore. It was now life. It was that life in Christ Jesus. God sent his Son to give a gift that keeps on giving. And that gift is salvation. That gift is eternal life. That gift is a home in heaven. That gift is dwelling with God throughout eternity. And as we've discussed in some of the studies in the past here, the world's not coming to an end. It's just the end of the age that's coming to an end. But we're going on, and we're going to live with him throughout eternity. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. As long as we've got him in our heart, our future's bright. I don't care what the stock market does. I don't care who's president. I don't care what else is going on in the world. Our future is bright. Oh yeah, tomorrow it may be a little bit bleak here on planet Earth, but our future is bright. Because he gave us the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. And we just need to share that good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and let the world know that he loves them, that he cares about them, and that he wants to meet their needs no matter what it is. And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your blessing. And Father, I pray that lives will have been touched and changed by this word that's gone forth today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.